R-E, it means, it's just two letters, and they have a significant impact. It could mean again. Somebody say again. It could mean to push away. It could mean to let go. R-E is two letters with a big job, and they're packed with a lot of responsibility. For instance, I could say rejoice, which means to have joy again. Does anybody need God to do some things again in your life in here? I know we're normally a little subdued, but this is not the morning. I let Satan know this morning, this is not the morning. I'm going for his neck this morning. I know we're a little laid back this morning in this service, but does anybody need God to do some stuff again? Again. Somebody say again. Somebody say again, God. Yeah. God's going to do some stuff again. There's something I want you to know, that God does not benefit from your failure. God doesn't gain anything from your failure. God does not gain anything from your failure. As a matter of fact, he's committed to your success through his covenant in your life through Jesus Christ. My wife, she doesn't like bugs at all. So we have a pest control service. And they had just come and they had sprayed. And she walked in the bathroom. She said, Jason, what is that? I said, what is it? It's a little black dot on the floor. I went and there was a little black dot on the floor. And it was a spider. And she said, didn't they just come spray? I said, yeah, they just came spray. She said, I need them to come do it again. Yeah. Called the pest control service. They said, it's covered because you paid for it in your quarterly service. We're going to come back again. Uh-huh. But that wasn't a miracle in that. And God said, Jason, look at the spider. I said, all right, God, I'm looking at the spider on the ground. He said, is it moving? I said, no. He said, it's a dead spider, which showed you that the service worked. He said, there are some things that have some power in your life, but they don't have permission. There are some things that Satan is trying that has the power to take you out. But through your covenant, it does not have permission. And he said, anytime you need me to come back, I will do it again. Look at your neighbor and say, he's the God of again moments. Don't you be scared by what's laying around in your life. I know it could hurt you. I know it has the power to destroy you. But God said it does not have permission. As a matter of fact, I feel God this morning. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. God has you covered in the front, back, side. It does not have permission to destroy your life. All right, y'all sit down. But I dare somebody that Satan's been messing with you. And there's some things that he has a legit reason to bring against you. But you stand in the name of Jesus and say, you don't have permission. I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I've got power. I've got favor in the name of Jesus. Y'all sit down. Pull back. We'll get there in a minute. We'll get back there. I was reading an article Monday morning that really hit me. There was an article Monday morning I was reading. This past weekend, there was a phenomenal church in California. Three services, a pastor, phenomenal pastor. And he was preaching about this past month how God can come fix the messes in your life. This pastor tried to commit suicide on Friday, but he ended up ultimately dying. I think it was on a Saturday or Sunday. He had everything that you could ever imagine in my world. As a pastor, he had everything. Three services, phenomenal ministry. But it talked about how he struggled with anxiety, talked about how he struggled with depression. This guy who was preaching about a mess ultimately succumbed to a mess. And I was reading this article, and this one pastor began to talk about the statistics of pastors whose life ends in divorce, death, how pastors struggle with depression, how pastors go through all these things, how pastors struggle with pornography and all these different things like this. And they were telling all these stats, and they said, if you need help, call this 1-800 number. And I said, that sounds easy enough. That's as easy as the person that says, if you ever need anything, call me. Like, for real. I don't really even know you like that. You just got some in the spirit, and now we're going to talk, and I'm going to share my whole life with you in the moment. I'm all for accountability. I'm all about being healthy. I'm all about taking sabbaticals. But there's one thing that is missing when you quote statistics. There's one thing that is missing, and I believe you should call 1-800 numbers. I believe you should talk to people. But there's one thing that you have to talk about that is missing, and that's power. Nothing works in your life unless the power of God is there. You can tell people all day long the stats of this and this is what's happening. But unless there's power of God in your life, there are things that will overcome you. There were things that will overwhelm you. And there are some of us who are dealing with some real stuff in here. Am I talking dealing with some real stuff? I didn't say it was all right. Because some of the stuff we're dealing with is wrong. But it's real. Can I get some real folks in here to say there's some things that I'm dealing with, some of it I caused, and some of it life caused, but God's going to help me deal with all of it? I don't care if you're blown opportunities or you're about to enter into a new season. I said all this to say, you don't have to give up. You don't have to give in. God is about to re-up your life. He's about to do some things again. And in the first installment of this series, I'm going to talk about this. He's a do-it-again God. He's the God of resources. Somebody said again, do it again, God. Somebody said again, do it again, God. So in Philippians chapter 4, you guys can go there, and I'm going to end up at verse 19. It's probably one of the most inspirational texts in the Bible that people use when they want to encourage somebody. It starts out, and Paul, he's talking to the church of Philippi, and he said something in the middle of that chapter. He said, those things which you have heard of me, those things which you have learned of me, he said, do those things. But I love, can I walk you through what he says? He said, hey, listen, he said, let me tell you something. Be anxious for nothing. Some of you hear your word this morning, but I want to tell you, don't be anxious. But he said, by everything, by prayer and thanksgiving, make your requests to God. You ever notice when you get nervous, you talk real fast or you just jump all over? He said, listen, take your time and ask God and then praise him that it's already done. Then he said, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, should guard and keep your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Then he went on to say, he said, listen, this is what else I want to teach you. He said, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. He said, I want to teach you how to think, because some of you are thinking the wrong thoughts. And every thought has a path. Because God said in Jeremiah 29:11, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. That plans not to harm or hurt you, but to bring you to my desired end. So there's a desired end to every thought. So you got to think the right thoughts. And he said, listen, I want to tell you this, because many of us quote Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things. But before he got that, Paul said, I'm a seasoned saint now. He said, I've learned how to be abased. He said, I've learned how to make it all pork and beans. I learned how to make it all SpaghettiOs, fried bologna sandwiches, and Roman noodles. He said, I've learned how to abound. I've learned how to go to Ruth Chris and eat the best of the steaks. He said, I've learned how to live when I had two outfits. And now he said, I can go into my closet and say, any, many, miny, mo, I don't know which way to go. But he said, none of that stuff defines me. He said, I'm not defined by how much money I make. I'm not defined by where I live. I'm not defined by what's in my closet. I've learned to live here. I've learned to live there. But he said, here's the secret. I can do all things. In my broke season, I can do all things. In my rich seasons, I can do all things. In my happy seasons, I can do all things. In my sick seasons, I can do all things. There is nothing in my season that can stop me from doing all. Y'all right this morning? So he said, I want to tell you something. He said, don't be anxious. Praise God. He said, think the right thoughts. He said, you can do all things. Then he set them up. Because Paul was on a mission. And this church communicated with Paul with a gift, a natural gift that helped him to further the gospel. And he said, because you did this, there's a promise waiting for you. And it ain't just for you, but it's for those of us in this room. He said in Philippians 4:19, I'll put it up on the screen in a minute, he said, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. I want to tell you how God does again moments before I tell you why. Let me give you two things as to how to unlock the resources of God. The resources of God are his again moments. Are you ready for that? The first thing he says is in Philippians chapter 4, verse 15. Hopefully you can see that on the screen or it's in your Bible. He said, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. He said, no other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I do not say this because I want a gift from you. Paul was not peddling for money. He was not out here talking about, you know, I need this, I need that. He was not petitioning. He said, I'm on a mission from God. You guys saw my mission, my vision, and you sowed into it. He said, I don't say this because I want a gift. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. Whenever you have, let me put on this side first. Whenever you have vision, God always sends provision. If you look at etymology of words, provision, provide, the word pro means before. Vision, vide, to see. So God before saw, before you ever needed a thing, God before saw what you needed and gave you provision. But watch this, the key component is vision. If you don't have vision, you'll never see provision. But here's what messes me up about provision. God before sees, he doesn't before give. And some of you are waiting on God to give you before you start. And God said, I want you to see it. Because if you don't see it before you naturally see it, you'll never see it. And when you take a step of faith, you don't need finishing graces until you get started. And God said, as you walk in vision, provision will show up. And you'll unlock a do-it-again moment. Y'all got anybody here who's got some kids and there's always something. There's always something going on, but God has a way of providing every single time. You don't know how it's going to work out, but God makes a way out of no way. Somebody say, God is a provider when you have vision. All right, let me get wrong. My time's getting away from it. The second thing that unlocks it is this. Paul said, give. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 18, he said, at the moment, I have all I need and more. I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me. With Epaphroditus, they are sweet-smelling sacrifice that are acceptable and pleasing to God. When you give, it is pleasing to God. So when you give, you unlock something. Giving is sowing something from your present to unlock something in your future. If you never release something from your now, you'll never get what's coming later. And what happens when many of us get tight, we hold on to what we have, and God says, sow love. Sow whatever you have because it unlocks what it is that you want to see in your life. Look at your neighbor and say, give. Okay, so what is this promise? So there's two things that unlock it, vision and giving. Vision and giving unlock this. But what is the promise that we're talking about here? It's in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. Can we unpack that for a moment? He said something that I loved here, Philippians 4 and 19. And I'm going to break it down by words. He said, and my God will supply. Isn't it anybody here say he's my God? Notice he said this, my God will supply your need. He didn't say your God will. He said, Paul talked about God like he knew him. Is anybody here that knows God? When you know that you know that you know that you know, can't nobody talk you out of what you know. There are many people who doubt God. There are many people who question God, but you can't make me doubt him. I used to love when they sing that. I know too much about him. He's real in my soul today. He's washed all my sins away. Does anybody in here know him? Paul said, my God. He said it with swagger. He said it with a confidence. God wants you to know him. Many people want to know the resources of God. They want to see the blessings of God, but God said, before you ever see my blessings, I want you to have the blessor in your life. He said, I want you to know me because if you get God, you get everything that you need. He is the creator of my life. He is the source of my strength. Everything else is a resource, but God is my source. Somebody say, my God is my source. All right, so it flows through a relationship. My God is my source. And then he went on to say this. He said, my God will supply all your needs. He said, my God will supply every need in this translation. Some translations say all. But let's talk about this for a moment. If you might take an economics class in school anywhere, you know anything about the law of supply and demand. Yeah, so when demand is great, people put high premium on supply and they charge a lot of money. But here's, I don't want to talk about it in that instance. I want to talk about supply and demand in terms of God's terms. Your need places a demand on God's supply. And even though there are a lot of competitors to meet your needs, nobody can do you quite like God can. Anybody say I've searched all over and couldn't find nobody? Nobody greater. Nobody can heal you. Nobody can feel you. Nobody can do you quite like God can. There have been a lot of competitors, but nobody has stood the test of time. Somebody say, like my God. So my demand places a my need places the demand on God's supply. Can I talk about your demand for a moment? All of us in here have demands, and they are legit. A list of demands arise out of this, being human. As a human, you need to eat. As a human, you have a need for a relationship. Not only does your humanity cause you to have needs, but human nature causes you to have needs. Anybody made some mistakes in here? Can we testify for a moment? We're not going to pass the mic and let you tell all of your story. But many of us in here have some mistakes that we have needed God to show up and am I talking to anybody in here? So he said, Jason, you have a need for relationship. You have a need for healing. You have a need for me to get you out of debt. You have a need for forgiveness. You have a need for significance. You have a need for all of these things. And he said, there is no need in your life that I will not legit meet it. Because here's what Satan does. He perverts your needs and try you to get them met through an artificial source. But God said, I am the legit source. He said, I am your supply and I am your sustainer. I am your everything. I'm your high. I'm your low. I'm your in between. I'm your way out. I'm your way under. I am God, and besides me, there is none other. So he said, my God shall supply every need. Can I talk about supply for a moment? I told you about demand. Supply says this. Every need creates a demand for a supply to meet that need. And when there was normally a great demand, people flood the market with supply. My house was filled with fidget spinners at one point. If it wasn't one, it was 50. If you went to the gas station, it was a fidget spinner. If you went to Walmart, it was a fidget spinner. They had them with Batman. They had them with Captain America on them. Everybody is trying to fill a void, a need that you have in your life. And there are all kinds of suppliers out there. And every supplier is after this one thing, loyalty. I want repeat customers. I want you to buy into my brand. And God is the same way. He said, I want loyalty, relationship. And what Satan is campaigning for is loyalty. Suppliers do everything to stay cutting edge. Apple is so smart, they sold you the same thing 3 or 4 times. If you got an iPhone and you got an iPad and you got an Apple Watch, you all got the same thing in different packages. That's why you can get your text on your iPhone just like you can get it on your iPad, just like you can get it on your Apple Watch. They stayed cutting edge. They said, if we don't get you one way, we're going to get you another. Because they know how to meet your needs. Y'all right in here. Somebody said, they got me. I'm up here with both of them. Great suppliers. Let me get where I'm going. My time's getting away. Focus on many factors, but I'm going to focus on a couple. And they're on the side of my screen here. Great suppliers focus on quality. When demand is great, all kinds of suppliers show up, but everybody ain't got quality product. No. I used to love Martin. And Martin would show up, and I don't know what kind of shoes that he wanted once, but he had shoes just leaned over to the side once because he took shortcuts and biting. Some suppliers take shortcuts. But every great supplier has great quality. And quality is this. Does the product do what it says it's going to do? Great suppliers have consistency. Is it the same quality every time? As much as you love spontaneity, you love consistency. I love the fact that every time I can go to Longhorn, I get a Parmesan crusted cheese, chicken. And it's the same every time I go. I don't want it good this time and not good the next. I want it good every single time. So suppliers got to be consistent. Suppliers have to have customer service. Do you know what I hate? I experienced it this week. I walked into a place and everybody at the front desk just stared at me. And then they went on talking to each other like I'm the cut, like I'm just there. And I'm like, if I wasn't here, you wouldn't be in business. Anybody can't stand bad customer service. Bad service and a good product don't go together. You're going to eventually lose customers. I love Popeye's chicken, but I don't want to walk in there. What you want today? Spicy and mild. I want two. We ain't got no mild today. Now, I don't want all that. Just give me my chicken. It'll be 7. I don't minutes. I don't care if it's 20. I want 2 mile thighs. Y'all right in here. Customer service. Every supplier focus on delivery. I'm going somewhere with this. When people get arrogant and they feel they're good, they don't feel like they need to rush or be on time. Delivery is this. Does it arrive when you say it's going to arrive? And when it arrives, is it in the condition it's supposed to be in? Is it broken? Is it in 1,000 pieces? And did you deliver the right package to the right customer? So they got to meet. I'm going somewhere. Then there's a price with every supplier. Some people feel like they can charge you an arm and leg because you can't get this nowhere else. And is it accuracy? Is it what I ordered? And then the bottom line to most suppliers is profit. But can I talk about the great supplier for a moment? His name is God, and he meets our needs through our son, Jesus. You talking about quality, he pays attention to detail. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God has the ability to blow your mind. He not only meets your need, he supersedes anything that you'll ever imagine. Yes, consistency. God is consistent. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Anybody know that every day with Jesus is sweeter than the... I thought I'm talking to a church in here. Y'all talk back to me. God is a God of customer service. He's full of grace. He's full of mercy. He don't ignore you when you walk up to him and ask him a question. He ain't like them 1-800 numbers. When you call in, you got to hit 18 million prompts to get to the department you want to go to. And then when you get to the department you want to go to, you are 80th in line. It's going to be about 15 minutes. Leave your number if you want us to call you back. And 20 minutes later, while you in the store doing something else, they call it. God would never put you on hold. He moves at the speed of faith. And when you call him, he will answer. He's right there. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. Am I doing all right in here? You're talking about delivery time. He may not come when you want him, but he's always, he's always on time. Even when you feel he's late, he's right in the nick of time. And he will be there to meet every need in your life. You talking about accuracy. God never misdelivers a package. There's nothing ever going to show up at your house that's not for you. And if it does show up and you don't want it, you can return it to sender. You said, I don't receive this in my life. This is not from God. This depression, I'm sending it back. It's not from God. This sickness, I'm sending it back. It's not from God. I don't care how it got here. And I don't care if my past mistakes made this delivery. I'm sending it back to where it came from. Because what God has for me, it is for me, and my God shall supply all of my needs. And God's bottom line is not profit. The bottom line of most suppliers is how much money can we make? Because if we don't make money, we don't stay in business. God's profit is your soul. God's profit is your salvation. God's profit is your deliverance. God's profit is you living the life that he called you to live. I'm through. But it said, my God shall supply all your needs. God's supply is your resource. Can I tell you something about his supply? He supplies your needs according to his riches and glory. He doesn't supply your need according to your mistakes. Somebody gonna get this. He don't supply your needs according to your performance. He don't supply your needs according to your behavior. He don't even supply your needs according to your whining and your desperation. He said, I'm going to meet your need according to my riches in glory, because I am the God of resources. And somebody say, he'll do it again. Why? Because his supply will never run out. We have established, watch this, that God is our source, right? So watch this. The word R-E means, again, I've told you this before. The word source means the originator of your supply. So the word resource means your resource, your source againing itself in your life. So whatever source you have, you allow it to again itself. Yes, so if your source is whatever you're putting your trust in, it's going to always again itself. So if your source is your money, you will put your trust in money. But I want to tell you what the Bible says. Some trust in horses. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in riches. Some trust in gold. But we trust the man Jesus. He is my source. This is my second close here. The word R-E means again. Who is my source? My source is my God. So whenever I say resource, I'm saying God again yourself. I'm saying God again yourself. I know you got plenty of stuff, but I want you and I want your nature to show up in my life. Is there anybody getting what I'm saying, that God can again himself? So I can say, God, do it again. So is there anything that God ever gave you in your life, God gave it to you because he wanted you to have it. And your purpose has survived your mistakes. Your purpose has survived your carelessness. Your need has survived all of these things. And God said, if I did it once, I'm not going to punish you for the rest of your life. He said, I want to do it again. I was with, there's a friend of mine, his name's Larry Christman, and he pastors Bright Temple, and we were in my great-grandmother's backyard one day, and there was a bunch of snakes back there. and Larry was in this little house, and I made a snake sound, and I said, "Sss." And Larry looked at me. I looked at Larry. There was a little board about this big. I don't know where Larry got that strength from, but Larry, in a single leap, jumped over, flipped out that house, landed on his feet, and left me standing right there. I said, "Larry, I bet you can't do that again." He said, "I bet I can't either, and I ain't going back in there." There was some stuff that people do that they'll never be able to repeat again. But God is not a one-hit wonder. If he did it before, he can do it again. Same God back then is the same God right now. If he ever brought you out once, he can do it. If he ever healed once, he can do it. If he ever saved you once, he can do it. Why? Because he is the God of unlimited supply. I'm third close, for real. Isaiah, I told you, many of you heard this story. Isaiah had this thing when he's doing homework. When we got finished, he wanted to watch his iPad. Well, he likes to drink juice, whatever. He was drinking his juice, watching his iPad. I'm on my computer right behind him. And all of a sudden, I hear splash. Turned around, juice everywhere. Isaiah's looking at me, cup in one hand, iPad in the other. Like, what you going to do? I said, "No, what you going to do? You going to get this paper towel. You going to clean this juice up." Put the cup down, kept the iPad in hand. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Still watching the iPad, trying to put the iPad down. Clean the juice up. We got him situated. Empty cup, iPad, he's watching it. I'm on my computer. A couple minutes later, I feel, "What do you want?" Cup in hand. "No, you're not. No, you're not. You just spilled all that all over the place. And didn't even have the nerve to want to clean. I had to make you clean it up." And he said, "Daddy, can I have some more?" And I started to punish him, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, "Is there more juice in the fridge?" I said, "Yes, it is." "Is there more money in the bank?" "Yes, it is." He said, "The most important thing is he's still thirsty." He said his thirst had the nerve not to die through his mistake. So if he's still thirsty, go meet that need. You know why you're still here? Because after all the things that you've been through, you still got your joy. You still got your dream. You still got your vision. You still got hope. You still got love. And Satan is trying to kill you. But God said, "I don't care the mistakes that you made. I'm not going to destroy you. Because of what you've been through, I will do it again." I need everybody in here that needs God to do some stuff again to open your mouth and say, "Again, God. Again, God. Restore my joy. Restore my vision. Restore my trust. Restore my character. Restore my integrity." Somebody say, "Again, God." Again, God. Again, God. I'm going to wake up in the morning and say, "Again, God." I'm going to wake up in the morning and say, "Again, God." Listen, for those of you who are nervous to ask God, you are not smart enough, nor is your situation bad enough to ever bankrupt God. God won't let you play him. I'm afraid to ask God because he did it before. He did it before for a reason, and what God is honoring is his covenant over your life. And there are many of you who are stuck in places that God has made promises. You're afraid to ask, you're afraid to move forward. But I want to tell you today, you're about to see the God of resources. You're about to see God again himself. He's about to do it again. I need every person in here who needs God to do some stuff again in your life, lift both your hands. This is your moment of miracle. This is your moment of breakthrough. This is your moment of restoration. This is your moment where God redoes what he does. Again, God. When you pray, you're not just asking for things. You're saying, "God, I want more of you." Again, God. Whenever you pray over your children, whenever you pray over your life, whenever you pray for whatever, you're saying, "Again, God, I'm the God of unlimited supply. I will never run out. I'll never leave you empty." Father, again. Do it again. Restore joy again. Restore peace again. Do it again. Father, there are people here who we are in desperate need of you to do some things. Do it again. We sing you move mountains. I believe I'll see you do it again. I've seen you make ways out of no way. I believe you'll do it again. I've seen you heal before. Do it again. I've seen you deliver before. Do it again. Father, we trust you. We honor you. We take you at your word.
You move the mountains.
I believe in God. Come on.
And I believe.
I'll see you do it.
I'll see you do it again.
Come on, you made a way.
Made a way.
Can you pull it up?
When there was no way.
Let's sing that.
And I believe I'll see you do it again. I see you move.
Come on, I've seen you move mountains.
You move the mountains.
And I believe.
And I believe.
I'll see you do it.
I'll see you do it again.
You made a way.
When there was no way. God, I believe.
I believe.
I'll see you do it. If you're screaming live on Facebook, God's going to do it again in your life. Father, here is our prayer. You're going to again yourself in our lives. We're going to see you show up. Do it, God. God, whatever miracle, whatever we're believing you for, if we've seen you do it for somebody else, you're not a respected person. I believe you can do it for me. Father, redeem, restore, set free in the name of Jesus. We bless you and thank you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Go shake three people's hand and tell them God's about to do it again.
I see you.